Chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Hey y'all, another episode of Chats from the Blog Cabin. We're continuing on our series about self-care. And this one I actually entitled, It's Not Normal to Be Sick. Because a lot of times in our mind, we think that we have to take all this medication and we have to do all this stuff. And the medication ends up making us feel worse than what it actually is the cause of it. When my mom passed away, I think she was on, I sat there and watched her one day and she was on at least, she took at least 20 pills in one sitting. And I was like, that's a lot of medication. And you know what? It didn't help her. It really didn't. And so when I got to this conversation with Olivier, it was a really great conversation. It's talked about how he changed his whole way of eating. And I know that a lot of people are on the fence about doing plant-based and about eating meat. And it's a great big divide there. But I feel like everybody has a story to tell. And if we can only learn one thing from somebody's story, then we've got our point across. And that's one of the reasons why I created Chats in the Blog Cabin, is so that people can have these conversations, so that you can hear and people can tell their stories. Because for too long, my story was silenced. And I'm in the process of writing a book right now about my story, it's going to rock some people's worlds when they find out some of the things. But Olivier talks about how he changed his whole way of eating and turned his life into a plant-based nutrition. And it's really great. And I hope you really enjoy it. It was a really wonderful chat. I gleaned some information. I'm not saying that I gave up meat, because I didn't. I'm a huge Bravo Steaks person. I am their co-op. I love me a good piece of steak. But he gave me some ways to think about things. So with that said, I hope you really enjoy this conversation with Olivier.
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Blog Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Chats from the Blog Cabin, you know, the show where I virtually invite people into the Blog Cabin to chat about life. And today we are being joined by Olivier or Oliver. I love your French name. And we're going to talk about plant-based diet. But I mean, I'm reading your story and I'm looking at it, telling you how you dropped 77 pounds in 9 months just going to a plant-based diet. So before we talk about that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, like you said, my name is Olivier Mancondo. I'm a author, weight loss and wellness coach. I'm a speaker as well. And basically what I do is I go and teach people how to thrive on a plant-based nutrition. So just a little bit, in 2016, my health was not very good. I had lots of ailments and I completely changed my lifestyle. And this had a profound impact on my health and in my life as well. So everything I knew about nutrition was completely shifted. And from that, I understood how the physical body was supposed to work, how to keep it functioning in an optimal way. And from that, I wanted to now share that with the world. And that's why I decided to become a speaker, so I can really teach this to people. And I can show people that it's possible to live a disease-free life. And the default is to be healthy and not to be sick. So basically, in a nutshell, that's what I do.
Now, you just mentioned that your whole idea of what nutrition was shifted. What was your biggest surprise? And what was the thing that you're like, first of all, the biggest surprise, and second of all, was like, why didn't I think about doing that before?
Yes, the biggest surprise for me is, for example, that as a species, we are not supposed, according to all the research that I've done and my own experience, that we are not supposed to eat animal products, dairy product, and processed food. This was really a shock for me, a surprise, because for me, since I grew up, that's what I've been eating all the time. And I thought that that was exactly what we were supposed to eat. And in all the stuff that I've done, the research and like I've just said, the experience and all that, I've discovered that it was not that was not what we're supposed to eat. That was the biggest surprise for me.
What was the hardest thing for you when you started this plant-based journey to cut out? Because I know a lot of people have certain cravings for certain things. What was the hardest thing for you to cut out?
For me, it was I didn't have any cravings. I didn't have any cravings because right from the get-go, I really drilled in my head that it was all the food that we were supposed to eat was not the food biologically designed for the human mechanism. And because I really drilled that in my head, I didn't have any cravings. For me, it was very easy to do it, even though I went cold turkey. And for the week after, it was very difficult, but I stuck to what I decided to do. And I didn't have any cravings. But sometimes when instead of eating ice cream made with cow's milk, I would have a vegan ice cream or something like that. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I didn't suffer from cravings and all that, no.
Wow. You said you did cold turkey. Would you recommend that to everybody who wants to go on a plant-based diet, or would you recommend slowly tapering off?
No. I will not encourage people to go cold turkey. That's the, it's not good because what happened for me is that when I went cold turkey, the following week, I had lots of detox symptoms. I had more cold sore, more headaches. Lots of problems. My joint starting to ache even more. So it was really, really bad. And just because I said to myself that I will continue to do that, that's why I went through that process. But it was not easy. And most people, when they change their lifestyle, they go on a plant-based nutrition or things like that, they will, if they go through these detox symptoms, they will think that it's not working. But that's actually how the physical body detox itself. And that's why I will not recommend people to go cold turkey. I will ask people to go step by step, slowly, so that they can get their body accustomed to the new changes, and they will normally not have to go through all these detox symptoms.
So you say go step by step and go slowly. What would the first thing that you would recommend if people were going to the plant-based diet to do to cut out from there?
Yeah, the first thing, for example, because normally people eat the breakfast, they eat their lunch and their dinner. So, for example, the first thing that I would ask them as a start is to replace, for example, the breakfast. Instead of having the bread, butter, salami, bacon, hot dog, sausages, all these things, to replace them with fruit. For example, this is the first simple step that people can do. Or, for example, they can have some porridge with some plant-based milk with some strawberries, or some brown bread with some peanut butter. Just simple changes like that, that they can go in. And maybe, for example, in a week, instead of eating for a week, it got 7 days, instead of having animal product every single day, maybe you can say, okay, I will just have animal product 5 days a week. For 2 days, I'm not going to have that. So you start introducing slowly all these small changes.
So what made you, you already said that you had a lot of chronic disease and yeah, you didn't feel healthy. What was the deciding factor to say, hey, I have to do this. I have to do this for my health and I have to do it cold turkey. What was that deciding factor for you?
Yeah. So basically, before 2016, like I've just said, my health was pretty bad. I was suffering from high blood pressure. And people should know that high blood pressure is a very dangerous disease, and 50% of heart attack are created by high blood pressure. And when you suffer from high blood pressure, you can have kidney failure, you can have lots and lots of problems. So I was suffering from high blood pressure. I had massive headaches every day or every other day. And in fact, I had to have some painkillers in my wallet all the time. I had dandruffs, chest pain, back pain, abscesses, joint pain. And at that time, my weight was 320 pounds. So it was really, really difficult to go through all this situation. And I remember it was a struggle in the morning to go to work. And on the days where I was off work, I would sleep until 1 p.m. and had lots of, I was always tired, no energy, and especially at the last place where I was working in a lab, and the lab was in the basement. So I had to climb the stairs all the time, and I was always, always out of breath. And for example, I remember as well, when I was young, I used to play tennis, and the way I became, I was obese, basically. It was difficult even for me to play tennis anymore, and even to tie up my my shoelace. I had to ask my kids to do that because my belly was so big. And so I went all through all this situation. And one day, because I didn't know what to do, basically, and when I went to my doctor, he told me that I will be on medication for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I said, no, I don't want that, even though I didn't know what I know now. But it didn't feel right for me to be on medication for the rest of my life. I said, no. And he said, okay, what are you going to do? I said, okay, I'll just join the karate club. I will do martial art to try and get my blood pressure down. So I joined a karate club, and it didn't work. Nothing worked. And one day in 2016, I was just watching a program on YouTube. And there was an Indian yogi who suggested that by stopping eating animal product, it was possible to reverse 70% of the chronic diseases. And because at that time my health was pretty bad, I said, okay, I'm not losing anything. I'll try that. And that's why it was a certain Wednesday that I watched that program. On Thursday, I came back from work and I had my last meal of meat. And on Friday, I went cold turkey. And that's why I said, on the week after, I had loads and loads of problems. I started to have more headaches that I've never had in my entire life. I had cold sore, my joints starting to ache even more. So it was really, really bad. And it only lasted a week. And after a week, I was starting to have lots of mental clarity, lots of energy. I felt very, very good. And 4 months into me adopting this plant-based nutrition, I went back to my doctor. And he told me that my blood pressure was gone. And after 9 months, I was able to lose 77 pounds. And for the past 7 years, so since 2016, I've not been sick a single day.
Wow. Now, when you went to the plant-based in that first week, were you like, oh, this is not worth it. I need to stop this. I need to figure out something else. Were those doubts ever in your mind?
So we can repeat the question, please.
When you were going the 7 days when you were detoxing from the meat, was it ever in your thoughts in your mind saying, this is not worth it. I need to go back and start eating meat because I feel so bad. I feel worse than what I did before.
No, it didn't. Even though I didn't even know that it was a detox symptoms, but because when I followed that program on YouTube, it was so profound. I really, really understood that I had to stop with animal product, the dairy product, and the processed food. And because of that, even though my health starting to get even worse, but I said to myself, okay, I will continue to do that. I'm not going to stop. And that's why I went all this week battling all these detox symptoms. And all of a sudden, after a week, it just disappeared. And that's why, after doing all my research, I came about to discover that, oh, that was the detox symptom. And some people, they go through things like that. For some people, they will have diarrhea. For some people, they will start smelling bad. There's lots of stuff that you can go through. You will feel headachy, or you will feel tired, lethargic, and stuff like that. But for me, because I really, really drilled that in my head that this was the right move for me. And it didn't cross my mind that that I had to stop. To stop the process, no.
Yeah, I do have a question. Was there a point when you said, okay, I'm going to try this, but in your mind, did you ever think, well, if it's not going to work, I'm going to give myself to this particular date, and if it doesn't work, then I'm going to try something else to see if it'll affect my health? Was there an exit plan for you, or were you going in full in, this is going to work, I'm not even giving myself any outs for this?
No, for me, I said to myself, I will give all to do this, to do that, but I didn't know if it were going to work. I had no idea. I just trusted what this Indian yogi said on that program, because I followed him for quite a long time, and I trusted him. So when he said it, I said, if he said that, it means that it must be true. But to be honest, I didn't know if it were going to work for me. No idea. And even the weight loss that I went through, I didn't know that I was going to lose weight. I had no idea. It was just the way after a week when I was starting to feel better, then I said, oh, this is something different. And for example, like I've just told you that every day or every other day I had headaches. But after that week, completely stopped. I starting to feel a lot of energy in the morning when I was waking up. Starting to feel really different. But before that, no, I didn't know if it was going to work. I had no idea. So I just trusted what that Indian yogi said.
Wow. We need to take a brief commercial break, but we'll be right back.
People welcomed me and they knew the pain of the journey that we'd been on because they'd been there too.
Other Parents Like Me is an online community, peer-led, for parents with kids struggling with mental health and or substances.
It's a space that's safe because like I can actually share what's going on.
We offer 15 daily support groups per week and live speaker talks on Thursdays, as well as a monthly expert panel.
We also have a resource hub that has a toolkit. This includes over 1,000 articles, podcasts. There's a glossary with the most recent and relevant terms. And we have a directory that's been vetted.
The overwhelming feeling when we're sitting in a meeting and I'm telling my story and I see others shaking their head, tears falling. You know, they understand this roller coaster and they're along for the ride.
And we are back chatting about plant-based diet. Now, I do have a question. When you're talking about plant-based, are you talking about eating as raw as possible, like the meals? Are you talking about processed plant-based foods? Because I know a lot of people in the plant-based diet thing were like, no, you don't have to, you can't add processed food into you. You have to eat everything clean and green. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So when I'm talking about plant-based nutrition, basically it means that you have to stop animal product, the dairy product. You can still have some processed food, but it needs to be very minimal. The bulk of your food needs to be whole food. So that's basically what I'm talking about. For me, for example, sometimes I will have some processed food. Some vegan processed food, yes, I will have that, or sometimes once in a while I will have some fake meat and stuff like that. But the majority of what I eat is whole food, and that's exactly what the plant-based nutrition needs to be about, because if we look, we will see that we are electrical beings. We need microelectricity for our body to work in an optimal way. And we can only have microelectricity from live food. And what do I call live food? It's fruit, vegetables, legumes, grains, nuts, and seeds. And why do I call them live food? Let's say, for example, if you have a green banana, if you leave it there, after a couple of days, it becomes yellow, ripe. And if nobody eats that banana, after 10 days, 2 weeks, then the rotting process starts. So you can see that the banana had a life. It was green, yellow, and ready to rot. But if you look at animal product, as soon as the animal dies, the rotting process starts immediately, which means that it's dead food. And like I've just said, we are electrical beings. We are living beings. So we need live food. And that's why we need to get all our nutrients from live food. And when you look at like I said, fruit, vegetables, legumes, grain, nuts, and seeds. You've got lots of nutrients. You've got lots of vitamins. You've got phytonutrients, and you've got fiber as well. Because when you look at the fiber, it acts as a broom in your intestine and all that. And when you eat food with fiber, you're not going to be constipated. But when you look, for example, at animal product, they've got no fiber. And it creates constipation. And when you are constipated, it's very, very bad for the human mechanism, because there are people who can spend 3 days, 4 days, even a week without going to the toilet. And this is very, very detrimental for the human mechanism, because when you are constipated, all these fecal matters, all this toxin will be reabsorbed into your bloodstream. And that's why a lot of people will start suffering from high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson, arthritis, and all the autoimmune diseases where the body destroys itself, like the inflammatory bowel disease, the lupus, the psoriasis, the rheumatoid arthritis, and all these things. So really, what if you really want to thrive, the best thing to do is to adopt plant-based nutrition.
So take us through your daily meals and what you put in each one of your meals, because I think a lot of people are really curious. They're like, well, you don't eat meat. Well, you just eat salads all the time. And that's not true, correct?
No, that's not true. No. Yeah. So at this present moment, I only have two meals a day, because in the culture, we have been told that we need to eat all the time. And some people will even, some medical professional will even tell people to have 5-6 meals a day. But what I understand is that when you keep eating all the time, your body will produce insulin. And when you have insulin in your body all the time, it's going to age you very quickly and you're going to shorten your lifespan. But when you're not eating, your body will produce what is called the human growth hormone. And when you have the human growth hormone circulating in your system, you're going basically to slow down your aging process. And basically for me, that's what has happened to me, because I started this process when I was 46. Today I'm 53. I've been able to really slow down my aging process because I only eat twice a day. And most of the time, because I don't eat, my body keeps producing the human growth hormone, which slows down your aging process. So I only eat twice a day. At 12 p.m., I will only have fruit. And at 7 p.m., like I said, for the time being, most of my what I eat is raw. 98% of what I eat is raw, and only 2% is cooked. But that's not what I'm preaching to people, because when I started this journey, I was eating lots of cooked food. So, for example, for cooked food, people can have mushroom, you can have lentils, you can have broccoli, you can have cauliflower, you can have plantain bananas, you can have brown rice, you can have brown pasta, you can have sweet potatoes, you can have potatoes. There's loads and loads of things that you can eat. But people, when you tell them that you don't eat meat and all that, the only thing that came to their mind is that you only eat salad. No, there's lots of things that you can eat. For example, you can have brown rice with spinach and beans. You can have pasta with mushroom. And there's lots and lots of combination that you can do. So basically that's what I do for me. And for other people, for example, for my kids, in the morning they will have some fruit. At midday they will have rice with cauliflower and some lentils, and at night they would have some salad, or they can have some soup and stuff like that. So there's lots and lots of things that you can eat.
So you mentioned kids several times. What was their reaction when you first decided? Did you take them on the journey with you, or did you slowly integrate them? Did you go cold turkey with them as well, or did you slowly say, okay, we're gonna go into the plant-based, and they look at what their friends are eating and everything else and are like, why can't I be more like them?
Yeah, for them as well. I made them go cold turkey, but because for them I think the more you have been if you have been eating the wrong food for a long time, then it's most likely that you can go through all these detox symptoms. But for my kids, they didn't go through that. So what happened is that when I started the process, I said to myself, okay, I'm going to do that on my own. I didn't even ask my wife to do it. I decided to do that on my own. So after 2 weeks, she was able to see that, Olivier, there's lots of good changing. And she said that she was going to do that as well. And for her, she even lost 99 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So after a month, we saw that, oh, this is very good. And we sat our kids and we tell them that, okay, this is how we're going to eat now. Obviously, they were not happy. They They said that, why are you making us do this? But I tried to explain to them. So reluctantly, they accepted it. But now they are thanking me for that. For example, I've got one of my son. He had eczema for 11 years. We saw doctors, they prescribed all sorts of creams, but there were no changes. But when we adopted this plant-based nutrition, it only took 2 weeks for his entire eczema to disappear completely. So there was lots and lots of good stuff that they've been able to reap from this way of eating. And I remember my kids, the last one, when we started this lifestyle, he was 5. Today he's 12. And basically all of them, they don't get sick anymore. And it was a little bit surprising for me. I asked him if he could remember the taste of meat, and he told me that he doesn't remember that, because when he stopped eating meat, he was only 5. Today he's 12, he said that he doesn't remember the taste of meat. So it was a good experience for us. And like I said, in my house now, all of us, we don't get sick anymore. And for example, for me, for the past 8 years, I've not taken a single pill. So my health is pretty good. Yeah.
That is really amazing, because I understand. I feel you with the headaches. I so feel you. So it's something that's, unfortunately, it's in my genetics. But what did people think when you first said, okay, I'm going to go plant-based. I'm going to cut out eating meat. I'm only going to eat the living things. What is it that they were like? What was the reactions? Because I know they probably looked at you like, he is off his rocker. He has lost it.
Yeah, exactly. Apart from my wife and my kids, who understood what I was going, my changes, but my friends, my mom, my sisters, and basically they thought that I went crazy. And I starting to, because the most difficult part was not the change that I went through. It was what my family and my friend was saying. So basically there was a lot of criticism. They're starting to say that Olivier's gone crazy. What's going on? Why is he doing that? Maybe if he doesn't like himself anymore, we want him to be alive, because I lost a lot of weight. And some people even mentioned that I was HIV positive. So I had loads and lots of criticism. But I told them, okay, if you really love me the way you said, you need to accept the choices that I've made, because this is my life and you need to accept that. And now these people who were making fun of me are the same people who come now to ask for advice, because they can see that now my health is pretty good. I don't have any ailment anymore. For the past 7 years, I've not been sick a single day. Now the same people who were making fun of me, they come now and they ask me for advice. So basically, that's what it was. It was really difficult with family members, but now they can see that I made a good choice.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, any kind of criticism, especially from a family member, hurts the worst than if a stranger said it to you. So I can't even imagine you having to go through that, plus changing your diet and going through everything. So what made you decide to go out and start helping other people and help them recognize the plant-based diet and to get healthier and to be a health and wellness coach?
Yes, it's because, like I said, the way I grew up, I knew that it was normal to be sick. When you grow up, maybe when you start getting into your 30s, it's normal to start becoming sick. It's normal to have high blood pressure. It's normal to have diabetes. It's normal to have a problem with your kidneys. I thought it was just normal. But with the way I changed my way of eating, I changed my lifestyle. And I noticed that, for example, in my family, there's a lot of people who are diabetic. And for example, last year, I lost my uncle. He died from diabetes. My my grandma, she died from diabetes. So there's a lot of people who are diabetic. And even my brother was already pre-diabetic. And in my entire family, he's the only one who accepted to change his lifestyle as well. So for example, for him, he was pre-diabetic. Now it's completely gone. So me seeing that I was able to reverse all these chronic diseases, and like I said, for this time I've not been sick again. So I said to myself, this is something that is people need to know, that the default is good health. We don't have to be sick. It's like, for example, when you look at animals in the forest, they don't have vets over there, but most of the time they are not sick. Why? It's because they follow the specific diet. And if we as human beings, if we can follow our specific diet, we can have enough sleep, we can expose ourselves to sunlight, we can breathe fresh air. It's the, like I've just said, the food biologically designed for our mechanism, it becomes very, very difficult to become sick. Just like animals who live in the forest. But when you look at animals who live with us, like our pet, we don't feed them with the food biologically designed for the system. And that's why these animals, they are sick just like us. And that's why I said to myself, okay, because I've not know all these things, now I will have to start telling people that being sick, it's not normal. The default should be good health. And that's why I now want to go and tell people that if they do all these things correctly, they will be able to live a longer and fruitful life, and they don't have to suffer from all the these chronic diseases, because it really, really pains me to see people going through all these things. Like my uncle, among all my my uncles, it was the one who we were very, very close. And I remember I spoke to him for hours and hours. I told him, change your way of eating. But unfortunately, he didn't want to follow that. And he died, died last year. So all this has really, really made me want to spread this knowledge.
First of all, I sympathize and I'm sorry for the loss of your uncle. You can tell he made a huge impact on you. But being able to spread the word is amazing. And you have a book out called The Plant-Based Nutrition, How It's Going to Change Your Life. So let's talk about your book.
Yeah. So in my book, basically, there's four parts in my book. The first part of my book is I try to show people that we are herbivores and not carnivores. Because when you look, when you try to compare the herbivores and the carnivores, you will see that we've got a lot of similitude with herbivores. For example, if you look in the mouth region, you will see that carnivores, they've only got 2% canines, the incisors are short, and the molar are practically not developed. But when you look at, and they've only got one movement in their jaws, they can only cut and swallow. If you look, for example, you cut a dog, you will see that they don't chew their food. They just cut and they swallow. But when you look at herbivores, they have to cut and chew their food. And this is exactly what we human beings have to do. So in this instance, we can see the similitude between human beings and herbivores. And when you look at carnivores, if they want to drink water, they lick up the water. But herbivores, they soak up the water. And this is exactly what we human beings, we do. We have to soak up the water. And when you look at carnivores, they pant. And that's the way for them to regulate the temperature. But herbivores, they sweat through their skin. And this is exactly how we human beings, we sweat through our skin, just like herbivores. You look at the gestation period, you will see that all carnivores, the gestation period starts at 15 weeks or less. For example, wolf, to have cubs, it's going to take 9 weeks. For a cheetah, it's 13 weeks. And for a lion, it's 15 weeks. But when you look at big herbivores, all this gestation period starts at 34 weeks or more. For example, a cow, to have a calf, it's going to take 40 weeks. For a horse, it's 47 weeks. For a giraffe, it's 60 weeks. And for the human beings, it's 40 weeks. Again, the human beings fall in the category of big herbivores and not carnivores. So when you look, you will see that carnivores, they've got a shorter gestation period and multiple births. For example, a lioness will have multiple cubs at one go. And when those cubs are born, they are blind. They will be able to see after a week or 2 weeks. You look at big herbivores, they've only got one calf, one baby at a time. For example, cow will have one calf. An elephant will have one calf. And when those calves are born, they are not blind. You look at us human beings, we've got single birth as well. Rarely, rarely twins. And when our babies are born, they are not blind. So again, here you see a similitude between human beings and herbivores. And when you look as well, you will see that carnivores, they've got shorter intestines, which are roughly three times the length of their bodies. You look at herbivores, they've got longer intestines, which are roughly six times the length of their bodies. You look at us human beings, we've got long intestines, which are 27 feet long, 9 meters or 27 feet long. And when we eat meat, it gets transformed into uric acid. And that's why a lot of people suffer from gout. And you will see that carnivores, they've got very powerful kidneys to enable them to get rid of that uric acid. But unfortunately for us human beings, we haven't got powerful kidneys. And there's an enzyme, which is called taline. That enzyme enables the digestive process to start in the mouth region. And only human beings and herbivores have got that enzyme. No carnivores have got that. So again, here you can see the similitude between human beings and herbivores. And to finish, when you look at carnivores, like I told you, they've only got one movement in their jaws. They can only cut and swallow. So the stomach acid is 20 times stronger than our stomach acid. So in all this, you can see that we are herbivores. And to be more precise, we are frugivores. And even when you look at the gorilla, we share 99% of the same DNA. But what do gorilla eat? They eat fruit, vegetables, and tender roots. They do not eat meat. How come we share 99% of the same DNA, but we human beings, we are supposedly, we need to eat meat? So that's basically the first part of my book. I talk about that. In the second part, I talk about people don't have to eat animal product, why they don't have to eat the dairy product. Because when you look at dairy products, you will see that human beings are the only species in the entire creation to drink milk from another species. You will never ever see that. You will never see, for example, a cat drinking dog's milk or a goat drinking cow's milk, because every milk is specific to its own species. And for example, when you look at when we drink cow's milk, it's got loads and loads of calcium. So when we go to urinate, we're going to lose that excess calcium to the expense of our own calcium. And in the cow's milk as well, you've got loads of phosphorus. And again, we have to neutralize that. And to do so, the body will have to leach out calcium from our bones, our teeth, and our muscles. And that's why a lot of people start suffering from osteoporosis. And you will see, in the countries where the milk intake is very high, you will see a high incidence of osteoporosis as well. And when you look as well, you will see that in the cow's milk, the amount of estrogen is very high. And an increase of estrogen is linked to cancer. And when boys and girls drink cow's milk, later on in life, they will start suffering from breast cancer, uterus cancer, ovarian cancer. And for boys, it's going to be prostate cancer. So that's why in the book, I try to explain why it's not a good idea to eat to eat a dairy product. And I spoke about processed food as well, which are full of flavoring, preservative, coloring, and stuff like that. And these are substances not recognized by the body, and they create havoc. So that's what I speak the first part of my book. I speak as well about my own experience, the way I've been able to lose all this weight by changing my way of eating. And in the third part of my book, I try to speak about the how the medical system deal with diseases, because the way they deal with diseases is just to suppress symptoms instead of addressing the root cause. And in the last part of my book, I give lots of tips so that people can do if they really want to lose weight and reclaim their health. So in a nutshell, that's what I speak about in my book.
Now, you talk about all this research that you did. What kind of research, how long did it take you to get all the research compiled? Because I'm sure when you first started out, you did a lot of research, but to compile all this research so that when you published your book, people are going to say, he definitely knows what he's talking about because here's the research to back it up. How long did it take you to compile all that research?
3 years. It took me 3 years because I started this weight loss journey in 2016. I was able to write my book in 2019. So I started in my journey in 2016. And in 2019, I wrote the book. So it took me 3 years to compile all this research and all that, and especially my own experience as well, because it's good to do some research. But all the research that I made, experienced that myself, and I was able to see that it was correct.
Now, do you cite your research in your book so that way people can go, oh, I want to learn more about this, and I can go look it up myself?
In my book, no. But if people would like to have more information, they can go in my YouTube channel. In my YouTube channel, I talk about all these things. Or if they can go in my website. In my website, I've got a blog where I wrote article, and over there, they will be able to see all the research that I've made with all the article and all that. So the best place to go is to go on my website, and I've got a blog where I've written all these articles, and they will be able to see for themselves all the research.
Yeah, I think that's important, because a lot of people can come out and say, oh, you can do this, you can do that, and then they don't have anything to back it up. When I know you have stuff to back it up, because just looking at you and hearing your story, you know you have stuff to back it up. But I know there are cynics out there that are like, well, it may work for him, but he's just talking about research, but where is it at? And the fact that you have a place, even though it's not in your book, but it's a place where other people can go and check out for themselves and read about your experience as well, I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, but what I can add over there, what personally, what I think is, even though you can go and do some research, but I think the best thing is your own experience, because the research, when you look, it keeps changing. For example, in the 80s, doctors told us that it was good for women to smoke. It was publicized that it was not bad for women, to even pregnant women. Doctors were saying that it was good to smoke. But today, in 2023, all of us, we know that smoking gives cancer. So at that time, if people could really follow that, what the science was saying, because there were lots of research saying that smoking was good. But if you smoke, at that time, if you were smoking and you could feel that it was not good for yourself, you will know that this is not good, even though the research are saying otherwise. So I think the best thing is your own experience above all.
I love that, because obviously you don't know how your body's going to react. Like you said, you went through a detox system, but there may be some people that, like, for instance, you talked about fiber. I know, for instance, if I have too much fiber in my diet, it tears me up. So yeah. People need to know what affects what body, because every human body is made differently. The way things are, the DNA is different, correct?
Personally, I'm not too sure about that, because what is happening is that, for example, if you, for a long time, if you've been eating the wrong food, when you start introducing some stuff, you need to go slowly. If you do that too much at the same time, you can have problems. For example, like you said, that if you eat too much fiber, you start having problems. It doesn't mean that the fiber are bad. It means that your body needs to get accustomed to the new changes. And maybe you need to go slowly, slowly over a long period of time, and you will see that your body will not accept all these things. But if you go, for example, they tell you, okay, you need to go on a plant-based diet, and you start having loads of fruit, and no, it's going to make you sick. Mm-hmm. So you need to go slowly. Because like I keep saying, if we look at animals, all of them, they eat the same. For example, lions, they've got their specific diet. You look at elephants, they've got a specific diet. You look at all the animals, they've got a specific diet. But why it's only us human beings who are supposed to eat differently? For me, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't really make sense. It's just that because we've been eating different stuff, and when you start to introduce something which are not accustomed to your system, it can create problems. And people will say, this is not good. But if you introduce that very slowly over a certain period of time, then your body will get accustomed to that, and it's not going to be a problem anymore.
Okay, as a parent, when parents are thinking about starting this plant-based diet with their kids, and, you know, kids, when they come home from school, they want a snack. What would be some of the things that you would say, okay, take out that processed food for snacks? What would be some of the things that parents can put out for snacks for their kids so that they're still getting that nutrition and they're still getting that snack after school because, you know, their body, they need fuel to get their brains to do their homework. So what kind of snacks would you have parents say, okay, the processed food's gone, what snacks should we lay out for our kids?
Yeah, if, for example, they want some snacks, for example, they can have some pieces of fruits. Maybe they can have, porridge with strawberries, or maybe some peanut butter, just simple things like that. But what I'm saying, I'm not completely against all the processed food. But what I'm against is the processed food which have been heavily processed, or the processed food which have been made from dairy products. For example, instead of having the kid, for example, they can have ice cream. For example, my kids, they I still buy them ice cream because I don't want to be dogmatic. I just don't want, oh, no, you can't touch these things anymore. No, I don't want to be dogmatic. So, for example, instead of giving them ice cream every day, maybe I will give them once a week, but it's going to be a vegan ice cream, which is not made from cow's milk. Or, for example, I can give them some chocolate, but chocolate made with plant-based chocolate, which has got no dairy product. So you can still give them all these things, but you need to make sure that they don't have any dairy product, and you don't have to give them every day. Mm-hmm. For example, let's say today I can give them a chocolate. Maybe after the week after, I will be able to give them again. Or at the end of the week, I can give them some vegan chocolate or some vegan biscuit, just things like that. But it doesn't have to be every single day. And like I've just said, when you get kids to eat all the time, I think it's not a good thing. Because like I've just said, when you keep eating, people think that when they keep eating, it's going to give them strength. But what people need to understand is that 80% of our energy goes to digest food. 80%. So if you and when you are digesting, the healing and the cleansing process cannot be done at the same time. So when you're digesting, your body cannot heal and cleanse. So imagine that all the time you're eating, your body keeps digesting, you're not gonna be able to clean and heal. And that's why for me, really want people to understand that, yes, they can eat, but they need to eat less frequently. If you eat less frequently, you're going to increase your lifespan. It's like, for example, there was a research which was made with rats. They divided the rat into two groups. One group, they overfed them, and the other group, they gave them less food. And after a certain period of time, they were able to see that the rat who were fed less were able to eat to live up to 50% more than the overfed rat. So people really, really need to understand that it's very heavy, a very heavy process when we keep digesting the food all the time. Because like I've just said, 80% of our energy goes to digest food. And that's why, for example, when you have a heavy meal, maybe after 30 minutes to start dozing off. Why? Because all the blood will go to your stomach area to try and digest the food. And you cannot keep your consciousness anymore.
That is so true. Now, our time is almost up. Before we talk about where people can find you and find your book, do you have one last little tidbit that you want to share? One last little nugget that if they don't get anything else out of this whole conversation, that this is the one thing you want them to remember?
Yeah, the one thing that I would like them to remember is really to, like I've just said, to implement intermittent fasting. If they can implement that, it's going to be a very, it's going to be a game changer. It's going to be a game changer, and they will be able to really extend their lifespan. So basically, eat less frequently and live longer. That's what they need to understand. Eat less frequently, because I'm not saying that people need to count calories or do portion sizing. No, I'm against all these things. And that's why, for example, for me, I've never counted calories. When I eat until I feel full, and then I stop. So what I'm talking about is to eat less frequently instead of eating all the time. Maybe you eat at when you wake up, you eat. Maybe at 10 o'clock, you have something to eat again. Maybe at 12 again, and then at 3, all the time you keep eating. That's what is not right. If you can maybe do that 3 times a day maximum, that's perfectly fine.
Wow, you've given me a lot to think about, and I honestly don't think I could do it cold turkey like you do. And I applaud you for doing it cold turkey. But I think maybe even just replacing one meal or 2 meals a week and to do a plant-based meal will help a lot of people slowly get into this kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. Definitely. That's the best thing to do. Go slowly. Don't go cold turkey, because if you go cold turkey, because for me, I really, really had a strong mindset, very strong mindset. And that's why I was able to go through this. But if you're just starting out, best thing to do is to go slowly. Don't rush into doing cold turkey. That's not the right approach.
Yeah. So where can people find you at?
Yeah, so if people would like to find me, first of all, I would like to send your listeners or your viewers a free gift, which is 7 tips to lose weight. I will be able to send you the link. Maybe you will be able to put that in the show notes. And then people, if they would like to, they can go and have my book. They can go on my website. If they want my book, The Plant-Based Nutrition, How It's Going to Change Your Life, they can go on my website, they can have that, or they can go on Amazon. They will be able to have that as well. And then for people who are interested, I do a one-on-one 16-week coaching call. Basically, what they can do, they can go on my website, which is oliviermancondo.com. They can go and sign up to my free online masterclass. In that free online masterclass, what I do, I give the 5 biggest mistakes that women over 30 make when trying to lose weight. So they can watch that. And towards the end of the masterclass, there will be a possibility for them to schedule a free discovery call with me. So on the discovery call, they will be able to establish where they got stuck, what's their problem, what they're going through. And if there's a good fit, then we'll be able to work together. And I will be able to help them to lose weight, but more importantly, to reclaim their health. Because what people need to understand is that being slim doesn't mean being healthy. Mm. People get that really confused. It doesn't mean it's not the same thing. Because when I give you the example of my uncle, he was very slim, but he died of diabetes. So in my program, what I want is for people to lose weight, but more importantly, to live a disease-free life. Because like I said, it's possible to live a disease-free life. When we age, we don't have to become sick. That's not the default.
And you also have a TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram as well.
Yes.
So, Olivier, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing about the plant-based diet, for sharing your journey, because I think it takes courage to step out of the norm, to tell about your story, and to share and want to share with other people as well. So thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share my story, to share my knowledge and all that. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, I will share in the show notes all the information where you can find Olivier, as well as I think he's going to shoot over the 7 tips for me so I can add those in the show notes as well. And until next time, guys, be blessed, keep chatting, and get informed. Really do some research about this, because I really think that if you're having, especially if you're having chronic health problems, that it might help you. So until next time, bye.
Bye-bye.
Chats from the Blog Cabin. We not only have voices for a podcast, but also faces for YouTube. Don't miss your next episode.